Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on The Grave Talks, part 2 of our conversation about the old Licking County Jail in Newark, Ohio. The old Licking County Jail was a jail for nearly 100 years. Over 20 deaths happened within its walls, and it's no surprise that legends of hauntings circulate around the jail. Disembodied voices have been reported regularly in the cell blocks, ranging from whispering into people's ears to loud, echoing bellows audible throughout the halls. Today, we'll talk about the history and the hauntings of the old Licking County Jail with paranormal coordinator Darren Smith. In a place like that, especially when we talked earlier about the really brutal conditions these prisoners had to live in, there had to have been a lot of mental illness amongst the prisoners, a lot of trauma, I would assume death, because they weren't exactly housed very humanely.
Yeah, and, you know, energy's energy, period. Mm-hmm. And the best way to explain that is like the haunted attraction. You know, I'm open 2 months. So every weekend, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm rushing 700 and some 800 people through that building, screaming and yelling. They're scared. The emotions are high, whether it's happy or sad. The actors and their energy. So the best ghost hunt to do is book one right after the haunted attraction's over. That's when the energy in the building is the highest.
I never thought about that, but that makes sense.
Yeah, and then it's not an excuse to, because a lot of paranormal people don't like haunted attractions in these buildings. Just because of that, they have different opinions. In my opinion, I'm the one that has to tear the haunt down, clean up the building, you know, bring it back to normal before the next event. So I experience things that I'm used to it, so it doesn't really, but I've had some of the actors help me. You know, they'll volunteer to come help clean and tear down the attraction, and they'll have things happen. And they're like, oh my God, I just saw this, or I heard that. And it's like, yeah, it's normal. Then you get into like the off season where it's just ghost hunts on the weekends, tours here and there, our show or whatever we have, and it's quiet. You can walk in there and sit all night and nothing happens. But it's just a claim. I don't know that that's true, but
makes sense.
I get people fight over that first ghost hunt. And you know, we put our dates out in February. The first phone call you get is, I want the one in November, first week of November, or the one right after the haunt. And it goes first every year.
It's interesting.
Now, and sometimes nothing happens, and most of the time it does. But a lot of that stuff, it depends on the people that are ghost hunting too. Your right. Energy, if it's high, you're going to have a good night, you know. And I'm still learning, just like everybody else. Nobody knows the truth, but I've been to locations where I could sleep on the floor because it was so quiet. But the guy that was there the night before is like, oh my God, the roof was falling in. There were so many ghosts or whatever. I'm going there and nothing happens.
Well, and it's not like they're on demand either.
No, you just don't know.
It might happen for you, it might not. Mm-hmm. And another thing that happened there that is, not only was it prisoners, there was some sheriffs died in very similar manners there.
Yeah, we've had 3 sheriffs passed away in the same bedroom, which the bedroom on that floor has always been the master bedroom for the sheriff. Over the years, 3 of them passed away of heart ailments. whether it be a heart attack or some kind of heart disease. The last one we had there was William Howarth. And he didn't pass away in the jail, but he had a heart attack in his room, same room. And of course, they got him outside and got him to the hospital before he passed. But that was right after McElroy had died of a massive heart attack in the bedroom on the bed.
But they all had the heart attacks or the incident in the bedroom, in the bed?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, Ross Embry was the first one in 1934. His was a heart attack. And then you had Albert Rowe Francis was a heart attack in the same bedroom in 1949. And then McElroy was in 1962. And then Howarth, I can never remember what year it was. It wasn't long after that.
Well, I read that it was 1971. I don't know if that's correct.
But that sounds right.
And they do believe that they have sheriffs who are still there, or the jailers who are still there, because that was their job, was to watch out for these these prisoners and to take care of them. And I mean, that's a huge responsibility, to keep them in the building. Do you feel
it was their house. It was their home.
True. So. Yeah. Do you feel you have the presence of any of them in the building?
We do have, once in a while. It just depends on, almost like a day. It depends on what day it is, what time it is. You will hear keys jingling in the guard walks or footsteps. For a long time on the second floor, we kept hearing a clicking. And it was prominent clicking, like a pin, like you would open and close a pin. And Terry was sitting at the desk one night, and she's like, you know, we keep hearing that clicking in that one guard walk, but it moves. It sounds like something's clicking as it's walking down the hallway. And she's like, I wonder if it's a counter, you know, like the sheriff walking through, or the deputy counting the prisoners. And it's just a claim. Nobody knows. But you know that I haven't heard that in 3 years. It's weird, because, and that's another thing about some of these places, jail's big for it. You'll have something that happens constantly for a year, maybe a year and a half. You know what it is. You hear the footsteps in the same area, the shadow figure in the same area for year and a half, off and on. And then all of a sudden, nobody hears it, nobody sees it again. And then it might come back. It's like on a time loop. Oh. It's going to happen every day for this amount of time, and then it's just gone. It's weird. We used to have a door slam, and it took us 2 years to find what door was slamming, because you can't slam the cell doors, they're too heavy. And it was a guard walk door. We set up a static cam, and we all went home for the weekend, reviewed it. Took us hours to review it, but we found it was on the second floor cell block. It was just slamming by itself. Nobody in the building.
Whoa.
That's another thing I haven't heard or seen for, God, 2-3 years.
But who knows? It could come back this weekend.
You know? Yeah. My luck, it'll happen when I'm busy doing something by myself. That's usually what happens in that building. I mean, we have the first floor hallway, which is right outside our office. On the living quarter side, you walk out that door and you're in the hallway of the cell block. You hear a dragging. It sounds like, my only way to explain it is like a cardboard box on a gritty floor, like you're dragging a box across the floor. And the floors do get gritty because of the sandstone in the building and stuff. But a good friend of mine, Ken Ace Taylor, said he's feeling like it's like a janitor, somebody that's dragging a trash can, doing his job, coming down the hallway with the trash can every day. You know, I hear it all the time. I can be sitting in the office doing payroll or doing paperwork, and I can hear it. Plain as day, like I could open that door. Wow. I'm expecting to see somebody dragging a box or a can or something. That is pretty much a constant any day of the week. But who knows what it is?
What about the dungeon? Because I was reading that it's a hot spot. And then just give it the name, the dungeon, and it makes me think it's got to be haunted. But I don't know. I don't have any reference point for it.
Yeah, and there's a few deaths down there. I can't remember exactly how many. I mean, the one I remember is Kenny Malcolm. He died down there of a brain hemorrhage. He was probably the last death in that jail, the most recent. But there was what they called a drunk tank. in a holding cell in that side of the basement. We call it the dungeon because it is the darker side of the jail. But they've removed walls down there to where jail got so overcrowded, there was no more drunk tank. It was opened into one big, long holding tank. So, yeah, there was a drunk tank, and there were several reports of, I think, maybe 4 to 5 people passed away in there from drunkenness, you know, alcohol poisoning, or I don't like to say it in tours, but, you know, passed out in the cell bed and threw up, you know, choked on their own vomit or whatever. But yeah, there is stuff that happens in that basement that doesn't even match the jail. Shouldn't even be in that building. Don't know what it is, but there's a shadow figure that's constantly moving around down there that you'll see. We've caught it on camera. We've caught it on everything. It doesn't respond to you. It doesn't act like it knows you're there. It's almost like a residual type thing. Don't know who it is. We probably will never know who it is. I've seen people stand there and see it. Two of us see it, and you talk out loud trying to get some kind of response, and it just fades away, and it's normal. It fades in the same spot every time. So as it goes across the open dungeon, there's a what they call the fire door. It's a sliding fireproof door. It gets to that doorway and it's gone. And then even on the cameras we've caught it on, it's like a blur. It's not really a shadow. It's a blur. It gets to that spot and it's gone. So it could be someone that died down there that's a residual.
Because that is kind of what it sounds like.
But it'll catch you off guard if you're down there working and it happens. You get that overwhelming fear, and the first thing you want to do is run like hell, obviously.
Oh, I bet. Which,
it's only caught me a couple times when I'm there by myself. Most of the time, because you shut it out, you're there to do something. You just don't want to see it, and you just ignore it. But I've had a lot of
personal experiences. It might be easier for you than me, I don't think.
It took a long time.
Really hard.
It took a long time for me. I mean, that first year, like I said, when I saw that mass, my dad used to be a policeman years ago, and Granville, the little city outside of Newark, is supposedly a highly oldest town around, and it's haunted, I'm sure. And he was a night cop in the 70s, and he said, you know, it was so scary. I would get calls to go to the cemetery, which is a huge cemetery in Granville, and it's old, 1600s, 1500s. And it scared him because he, you know, somebody would say, well, there's kids running around the cemetery. You need to go check it out. 4 o'clock in the morning, fog laying over it. It scared the hell out of him. He said, so finally one night I just parked the cruiser in there and sat and faced it and just waited. And he goes, you know what? Nothing happened. And he said, so when you go back to that jail, go sit in that basement and see what happens. I'm like, you're crazy. There's no way. But I did it. I did it. I went down there and sat in the dark by myself for 20 minutes because I had a haunted attraction that had to be done. You know, I had a fire inspection coming up. I had to hurry up and get it. I made myself go and sit in that basement. Nothing happened. And it did help me for a little while.
I was going to say, I don't know that I could have done that. Hats off to you, Darren.
And that's before I was into the ghost hunting. You know, I didn't pay any attention to it. I didn't know anything about it. But that's when things started happening more. You know, I started getting into doing history tours. And the history tours end in the chapel of the basement, which is the other half of the building. It's just what used to be the chapel and later was turned into a kitchen. That's where the tour ends. You tell the final stories there, and then you walk them back out of the basement. And I was standing there telling the story of one of the prisoners in there, and my necklace pulled straight out and broke, which I thought it just fell off.
What?
I was embarrassed. Yeah, it just pulled straight out.
So they saw that part.
They saw it, and I didn't. You know, I just felt it go down the inside of my shirt. I was like, oh my God, my necklace just fell off. And they said, no. All four of the people standing there were like, it pulled straight out away from your neck, and it broke the clasp.
Wow.
But it didn't scare me. I mean, I still was kind of embarrassed because I was just learning how to do tours, and I had these people's attention. And you're so focused on telling dates right and telling names right. And you're almost done with the tour, and then this happened. It's like, oh, that's embarrassing. But now that I look back, it's like, no, that was a good ghostly experience.
You know? Imagine, like, but to this day, those people are all telling the story.
Oh, and I knew one of the ladies. I mean, it's a long story, but basically when that tour started, there was one lady in the group that said, this isn't about ghosts, is it? And I'm like, no, this is straight history of the building, history of the, you know, people that were here, blah, blah, blah. She goes, I don't want to hear anything to do with ghosts or paranormal or any of that crap. I said, nope. And the board wouldn't allow us to do that at that time. You know, history tours were for history. You know, the flashlight tours were for ghostly stuff. So she's running around the jail listening to my stories, and she's scared to death, looking in every corner and just freaking out over every little noise. And I'm trying to just stay on focus. And of course, this happens at the end of the tour. Just totally blew it for her, and she was gone. She ran up them steps, went right back out the front door, and I have never seen the woman since. But
I shouldn't laugh because I probably would have done the same thing.
I think she was mad at me. I mean, because
she knew thinks I was that a ghost you were hunter. Doing that to get her.
Yeah, and you get people like that. You get a lot of that. But the lady, the other lady and her husband that were in that group, is my banker, and every time I go in and cash a check or do some money for the jail, she's like, have you lost your necklace since then? Has anything else happened down there? I mean, she believes what she saw. And I wish I would have saw it from a distance to analyze it, because I didn't see it. I didn't even feel it on the back of my neck. It just, all I felt was it rolled down the inside of my shirt. And I'm like, oh my God, my necklace just fell off.
Which is weird, because you get that sensation like, oh, you know what that feeling is.
Yeah.
But the pulling it out had to have been gentle, actually, else you would have felt it on the back of your neck.
Yeah, and and we've had a lot of tour guides get that experience down there, being touched or faintly, you feel something is around you close. It's like, that to me was like, hey, you're not telling my story of when I died or how I haunt this jail, so let me get their attention. That's the way I looked at it.
Or did you get everything right? Is it like, you didn't tell my story correctly, and I'm trying to get your attention?
You know, you lay in bed at night going, oh my God, maybe that's what happened. You know, you don't know. It's just the stuff you think about. But of course, now I'm used to it. I've been doing it so long. Nothing really impresses me. I mean, I love it when things happen when people are there. That way they don't think you're crazy when you're telling these stories. But I'm used to it. But to go to another location that's haunted, I'm scared just like anybody else. Because they're not my ghosts.
I would think you'd be kind of used to it. You know your ghosts, I guess, better.
Yeah.
But it does sound like the jail has several hot spots. It actually sounds like, after this conversation, like the entire jail is a hot spot.
Yeah, there's a lot of different spots, and it changes. Used to be the matron's kitchen. There's an entity they call David. Before my time, the ghost hunters before that were running the place had a lot of interaction with a name of David, which we've dug and dug and dug and can't find anything. But this Justin Brown from Interface Death's feeling like he's an overpowered, you know, he's a little man that was probably a guard, and he was probably sneaking upstairs to the women's floor, which was highly not allowed. In mistreating women, because sometimes you'll feel him, or a woman will feel his presence, and he's rude, he's mean, he comes across the ghost box as rude. But if you go into the cell block, the women I've had people that can channel, and they're saying, can't you see him standing there? You know, you're looking down the cell block going, I don't see nobody. It's like the spirit's saying, he's standing there, it's David, or it's so-and-so. And we've had that several times, especially with people that can channel, which really freaks me out, because now you're talking a ghost talking through somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's not fun, but you have to rough through it and just try to listen and figure it all out. But that's basically what everybody's thinking of. But
you know, when you think historically back on this jail, 1889 to 1987, record keeping in that time probably always wasn't real accurate. It's not like you can pull it up on your computer.
Yeah, and they probably hid a lot of stuff, mm-hmm, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
There is one report of a guard that was accused of rape, but that was in the 70s, and he was actually brought to trial. But the sheriff at the time, Sheriff Marston, tried to cover it up, but it didn't work. But nobody died in the situation. Of course, he ended up in prison, but his name wasn't even David. It was William. So who knows who this David is? And then you get the question, well, why do you think David's still there? Well, he knew he was doing wrong. He's scared to leave that jail because he feels safe. he could be punished if he leaves the jail in the, you know, the afterworld. Who knows? The whole jail has, when you tell people the claims, you hit the hot spots. You get the David on the fourth floor. You get May Varner. Third floor, to me, is the creepiest. I don't know why. I just have a bad feeling in there. There's 8 deaths, all suicides on that floor. Into what we call the peekaboo man, which is one of the cells down at the very end. You get a head and shoulders that peeks out all the time.
Have you seen it?
Which I think, oh, yeah. And then mostly it's seen by people that work there, because as you're coming down the stairs from the fourth floor, you're talking history to the group behind you, and you stop in front of the cell block door, and you're looking straight down the center of the cell block. And you're the first one down, you're backing up, you're talking, and you look down and say, this is third floor cell block, and it's there. So in the last couple of years, I've been making the ghost hunters that I'm doing tours for, or the groups, why don't you go down the steps first and take a look down that cell block and see if you see anything. And it's worked a few times they've caught, but most of the time they don't, because they're either looking too hard or they're just not seeing it. But everybody that's worked there and all of our tour guides have seen it. It's weird. And plus that floor is just creepy. I don't know why. It's the same as the second first.
But with suicides and, you know, there's just a lot of really dark, traumatic things that happened there.
Yeah, the energy in there, you can feel it when you walk in the door. You just, as soon as you walk in that cell block, you can just, it feels dark, even though the lights are on. You know, it's a feeling you get, it's intuition. And to this day, I still hate that floor. I mean, I'll walk through it, I'll ghost hunt it, I'll do my tours. I'm glad the haunted attraction's not on that floor, because I don't have to spend that much time on it. But because
then you'd be there by yourself.
Yeah, then I'm there by myself or alone in that area, whatever. But no, it's the third floor always has its little histories of that. First floor is Walter Robinson, the guy that hung himself in one of the cells. He get a lot of claims of people getting very faintly touched on the elbows or the earlobes or the back of the neck, but it's not grabbing or scratching. It's just a very faint, oh my God, I just got touched, you know. I've never been touched in there myself, but I've heard thousands of people say it. My mom works at the jail with me occasionally and is dying to have a paranormal ghost experience. And I was in there playing around with one of the ghost boxes one night, and she got her earlobe flicked. Oh my God, I finally had something happen. You know.
And that would be a weird feeling if your hand is nowhere around it and there's nobody around you. How do you debunk that?
Happened. You don't. There's little things that happen in that building all the time, but I can't remember half of them, or I've shut them out because I forget, or, you know, I'm too busy. I don't have time to deal with the ghost today. So, but there's always that night where you're hosting and you can't wait for them to get there, and you're praying to God that they get a bunch of evidence. And it usually does happen, but there's nights that they're used to it. These people are traveling around these places.
Exactly.
They know there's not active every night, you know.
So people can do the historical tours there, correct? Do you have to?
Yeah, we have public tours. Mostly the public tours for this season are what we call Final Fridays, which is the last Friday of every month. And it's 5 to 8, $10 per person, whether it's guided or self-guided, either or. That's when we run our public tours. Next year, I'm hoping to have a lot more.
And what about paranormal investigations? Do you do those often? Do people have to, I'm assuming.
You have to book it.
Yeah.
Right now, the website's being brought up. I mean, they're finishing it. Basically, if you want to do a private investigation, it's you have to get a booking. So we'll give you, eventually it'll be, we'll give you available dates. You pick a date, you pay a deposit, and then you'll pay your final 30 days before your event or whatever. It's $594 for up to 6 people for 8 hours. And then it's $99 per person over 6 people. We work with the teams. If they're having a good night at 2 o'clock, we're going to stay with them. And we don't charge Kevin anymore. You know, we get paid the same regardless. So
if you're working on the website, is there a website they can go to, or are they better off going to your Facebook page or social media to get information?
For booking, if you'd like to book before our website, you just send an email. It's to jotparanormal kevin@gmail.com.
Okay.
Request a date or ask any question you want. And Kevin's the one actually answering those and booking and invoicing through there. Or yeah. You can actually send a private message to the Haunted Licking County Jail Facebook page. I'm the admin. I'll answer it.
And that wraps up our conversation about the old Licking County Jail in Newark, Ohio. For information about paranormal investigations, email jotparanormal@gmail.com. For more information on the haunted attraction, the Jail of Terror, visit newarkjail.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and try it there for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks so much for listening.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.